ever wonder how high that cliff is when they launch themselves off? And I wonder what it is that God wants, where God wants to lead you today. You know, you see those young guys just throwing themselves off the cliff. I wonder if we would have that same abandonment to all that God wants for us and what God would want to say to us today. Okay, so we're in the middle of our series, Come Saying Yes in a Maybe World. And in a world where it is like I'm kind of interested or maybe, or don't count on me, I'll turn up if I kind of, it works out that way. My challenge to us all is if God says, and if God asks, and if God calls you by name, it's yes. Say yes in a world of maybes. So we've looked at, so far, invitations galore as we've looked through the whole of the Bible in like 30 minutes. Invitations everywhere through the Bible. And then we've looked at specific invitations. We've looked at the road to Emmaus where people had food and Jesus blessed that food. And we talked about how if you haven't started that ritual of saying grace before meals, I think that's a really good ritual. It's a great way of welcoming God into an everyday meal, thanking God for the meal, and thinking of other people who aren't as blessed as we are. And if you haven't started that, I would really encourage you to give some more thought to that. And on the Yes Desk, we've got some graces, 31 different graces for 31 different days. And then Catherine was here and she spoke about come see the incredible things that God has done. And we just need to look at the person sitting next to us, see the incredible things that God has done. We look at the world in which we live. And then we looked at Philip and the Ethiopian. The Ethiopian was struggling to understand the scriptures, and Philip positioned himself, led by the Holy Spirit, and asked the question, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian replied, no, I do not. I need someone to explain it to me. So Philip got up onto the chariot and explained the scriptures to him. And from time to time, we need people to come into our world and sit with us when we're going through confusing times or hard times, times that we don't understand. And we talked about how as parents, you're the first disciples of your children. So take an interest in what your children are reading from the Bible. Take an interest in what your children are learning in Children's Church and Stepping Stones, what your children are learning at school. Do you understand what you're learning? Do you have any doubts about what you're living? A way of engaging with your children. Okay, and so today we're looking at another series, another part of our series, Coming Saying Yes in a Maybe World. As I look around, I see Jocelyn and Ruth, and I've said this before, but oh, Frank and Sandra, some of us went to Burma, Myanmar, in 2004, and that's the hottest place I've ever been. That's the hottest place I've ever been. So I was just thinking about it as a funeral director, which got up to 1,000 degrees, but this is 43 degrees. 43 degrees in Burma on the back of a truck, just being parched because it was so hot. And everything was just dripping. It was so hot. And what we really needed was that can of Coke for 800 chutz down at the local dairy or the water to refresh our bodies because it was just so hot. So I want you to picture this, that intensity of heat and the refreshment that comes when you take a cool drink. When I was much younger as an officer, I came across this book called Worshipping God at All Times and in All Places. And what really struck me was at all times and all places. And so I'm going to talk with you about an exercise in that book, which I found really helpful, and it kind of fits in with what I'm going to say. So if you are a close your eyes person, an imagination person, now's the time to do that. Okay, so I want you to imagine that you're on a beach in Spain. And I've never been to Spain, it's on my list, but a beach in Spain, and it's kind of nice sand, and it's boiling hot, and it hasn't rained for a long time. Okay, so you're lying there, getting a suntan, if that's what you do. Boiling, boiling hot. You can imagine what that might be like. It hasn't rained for a long time. And then it starts to rain. So in your imagination, you can hear the rain dropping on the sand around you. You might have heard that. You can hear it on the road sometimes, but you're listening to the rain falling on the sand around you. You might hear the rain as it splashes on your body. And then, if you're an imaginative kind of person, imagine the taste of the rain as it lands on your lips. What does it taste like? And then what does it feel like? What does it feel like on your skin? Hot, dry skin, the refreshing rain just falling on your skin. So what does it sound like? What does it taste like? What does it feel like? Okay, and the point of that is, when we're feeling dry spiritually, how can God come and refresh us? When we're going through a really hard time, how can we know the refreshment of God? I'm not tall, but I offered last year to drive the family store truck, and William Johnson and I were on the family store truck, and I'm sure when we went to pick stuff up, they looked at us and thought, yeah, right. So one day you get an address on, we had to deliver this table, and it was like the Knauf's table, a beautiful, big, heavy table. And we didn't have any tools in the truck to dismantle that table, so we just got the address, something, something in Island Bay, and when we pulled up on the truck, it was like... And there was the garage, and there was the fence, and there was a little lane. And I looked at William, and I looked at myself, and I thought, we're never going to do this. Like, this people had paid for this table, I didn't want to damage it, so I went upstairs and I knocked on the door, and thankfully there were two guys there, and I said, we've got your table, can you give us a hand? Can you help us? We can't do this on our own. And so they came down and they helped us, and we had to lift it up over the fence as we walked past, and then we went up the 3 million steps to their house, and then it wouldn't fit through the door. So that was my moment to say, see ya. I'd done my job, just getting it to the front door. So in our series, Saying Yes in a Maybe World, I want you to imagine the dryness that comes from just living our lives and the burdens that come from just living our lives. And I kind of want to ask you, what burdens are you carrying today? Is there any part of your life where there is tiredness and weariness? Or for someone that you know, that you love? John Bloom, who's the co-founder of Desiring God, says that for many people, at different times and at different places, there comes this deep soul weariness, a deep soul weariness. And sometimes it's a build-up of complexities, sometimes it's a build-up of just one thing on top of the other. Sometimes it's emotional, sometimes it's spiritual, sometimes it's physical. But there's this deep soul weariness. Like yesterday at the sports day, you know, those of us who suffer from bad backs, we pay for it, but we want to win that trophy. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about something much deeper than that. And maybe this deep soul weariness comes from heartaches or heartbreaks. Or maybe this deep soul weariness comes from consequences of bad choices. And if that is how you feel today, and that's how I felt in the past, how do we manage those things when we need to be the husband that we want to be, or the wife that we want to be, or the partner that we want to be, the employee that we need to be, the employer that we need to be, the parent that we need to be? When we have that deep soul weariness, how do we basically just keep our lives ticking over? A night off from the kids. That's a good thing. A weekend away. A coffee with a friend. A massage. Chin up, brother. it won't last forever. Or maybe a 5-step plan or a 6-week course. All these things are really, really helpful. But as helpful as they are, they're not really going to address that deep soul weariness. And Rick Warren, the pastor of the Saddleback Church in America, says, "These activities might refresh in your body, but they won't restore your soul." They might refresh in your body, but they won't restore your soul. So what then is the answer? If you are tired and weary and have deep soul weariness, well, the answer is not a plan, but it's a person. The answer is not a plan, it's a person. So back to that question, what are you carrying today? What is your burden? Do you have deep soul weariness? Or to put it another way, from Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said, "Are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? Then come to me. I will refresh your life. I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine, learn my ways, and you'll discover that I'm gentle, humble, easy to please. You will find refreshment and rest in me. For all that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear." Now, if you take that verse in context, just before that, Jesus was actually saying a prayer to God the Father, and he was saying, "Thank you, Father, that you have sent me not to the proud people, but to the humble people, not to the people who kind of think they know everything and don't need me, but for the people like children who know that they need someone greater than themselves." And Jesus was praying, "Thank you that I am here, and thank you that you use me to unveil myself, yourself, to people." And then he said, "If you are tired and if you are weary, come to me. I will give you rest." So if that is the invitation, if that is the invitation of Jesus, what is it that we need to do? It's easy. Come. Come to Jesus. Believe in who Jesus is and trust that he can do for you what is right at the right time and in the best way. And our rest that Jesus talks about is not knowing that our struggles will be resolved one day. Our rest is not knowing that there is a solution. Our rest is in our relationship with Jesus, trusting that he, at the right time and in the right way, will work out those deep soul weariness burdens that we carry. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all your care upon me, for I care for you." Okay, so if that is the invitation and we know what we need to do is to come, I wonder why people don't do that. If people are weary, if they're tired of carrying a heavy burden, and they have deep soul weariness, and maybe there's a number of us here this morning who have that, why do we not come? And the answer is because there is no hope. They do not have hope. However, if your faith tells you there is hope, and if you receive what your faith expects, then you will have hope. Here then is what we need to do. If we have hope, then the rest is easy. Remember, the hope is not in a plan. The hope is in a person. It's not in a simple thing to do, which is to come, but it's in what happens when we do come, and that's what Jesus promises to us, and that's what we're going to look at now. In another version of this reading, it says, "If you are tired from carrying heavy burdens, come to me and I will give you rest. Take the yoke I give you, put it on your shoulders, and learn from me. I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest. This yoke is easy to bear, and this burden is light. I caught up with a friend just recently, and this person really struggled with this passage of Scripture. And maybe you've struggled with this passage of Scripture as well. How can a yoke be a burden, but it can be light? But that's not what this person struggled with. Sorry if I'm smiling. This person struggled with that they thought that the yoke was an egg yolk. So they struggled to understand this passage of Scripture. But in more seriousness than that, some people struggle with a really simple invitation that God gives us when the answer is relatively easy. So I want to show you the animal yoke. I've got a picture there. Okay, so you can see that there are two oxen, and they're joined together by a wooden yoke. And what happens with this particular design of yoke is that the U part goes up like that around the neck, and then the yoke goes along the top, and it's kind of bolted together. So that you have two oxen pulling the plow rather than one. So you can see that there is assistance given to each other because they're both working together. Now this is really interesting. This guy, John Bloom, talks about this passage and he talks about a yoke exchange. A yoke exchange. So Jesus takes the yoke of our sin in the shape of a cross. And he carries that yoke, that cross, to Calvary, and he's nailed on it, and he dies on it. And with that cross, he carries our sin, and he carries our condemnation, and he carries the penalty of our sin. And what he says is, I will exchange that cross of penalty and condemnation and death, and I will give you another yoke. I will take the heavy yoke and I'll give you a light yoke. I'll give you an easy yoke. And why is it easy? It's because we're with him, he's with us, we're yoked together. It's not he's put something on us to carry on our own. He's with us, he's yoked with us. So where we go, he goes. When we are weary, he helps us. Where there is a yoke, there is work to be done. There is work to be done in the pulling of that yoke to plow the field, the pulling of the plow to do the burrows so that planting can take place. So there is work. So what is the work that we need to do? Well, the work that we need to do is to believe in Jesus, to abide in Jesus, and to follow the example of Jesus, to learn from him. And the result is we will find rest for our soul. We will find an oasis that refreshes us. And we will carry not the heavy burden, but we will carry a light yoke. And this is how it works for me. I believe in God. I trust in God. I choose to follow him. And so my heavy burden, I give to him. And I say, in your time and in your way, help me to give my burden, to lift my burden. You know what is best for me. You know how this is best to work out for me. So I give that to you. And my responsibility now is to believe in you, to trust you, and to learn from you, and to follow your ways. Now this verse, this passage is not a magic formula, but this verse reflects God. And in fact, I think this verse sums up the whole Bible. Come to me, and I will take what is heavy. I will swap something, and you will find refreshment for your soul. I am not alone. He keeps me company, and he helps me. Last week, we looked at how people can sit with us and how there are times in our lives when we need people to come and sit with us. And today we're looking at how Jesus or the Holy Spirit comes beside us and makes a difference in our lives. So again, that question, are you weary? Do you have regrets? Do you have failures? Do you have habitual sins? Do you have consequences of bad choices? Do you have medical conditions? Do you have words that have hurt you or haunted you? And you have a deep soul weariness? Then come to me, and I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways, and you'll discover that I'm gentle, humble, easy to please. You will find refreshment and rest in me, for all that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear. I wonder if God has already been speaking with you about those deep soul weariness burdens that you carry. And I wonder if the words that I have spoken today have kind of triggered something within you. I wonder if failure in the past is stopping you from saying yes in the present. I wonder what part of these words that Jesus said to those people all those years ago, which he would say to us today, I wonder what part of those words speak most for you. I wonder as you sit here with this message and in the context of this service, what your faith is expecting from today. And I wonder how you would like to use the response time that is now going to follow. The music team are going to come and they're going to sing a song of invitation. Oh, come to the altar. Oh, come to the altar. And this is going to be, we've heard the spoken word that Jesus would give to us today. And now we're going to hear the sung word. And I would encourage you in this time of response to position yourself where you can meet with God. It might be that you would want to stand and pray. It might be that you would want to come to the mercy seat, a place where you can be close to God and God can be close to you. So as the invitation is sung, I would encourage you to use this time to respond to what God will be saying to you.
Hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin. Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness is bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness is bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was brought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Said something I wanted to share. I had a sort of a waking dream last night, so I had been asleep. Sharon had woken up because there was something fishy going on with the hot water, and that's not the point of this story. But then we sorted it out, and then lying there trying to go back to sleep, it's like, oh yeah, there's a lot of burdens, you know, literal and figurative responsibilities, yeah. And I started feeling like I was, not like a comfy burden like this, but like I had a really big pack. And you know, if you've been tramping and you've packed your bag poorly, it's all kind of jabbing into your back. And I was praying about it, and I felt like I was just on an incline carrying this big pack, and I looked over and like, oh, Jesus, you're already here. He's just strolling along beside me, and felt. I don't know that this was a full-on vision, but it was kind of just like something that came into my mind. Like, oh, he's offering to take, you know, my burden here. Like, and so he gets it on, and somehow it looks all comfy on his back. And I just have this little day pack now. I'm like, are we okay? This doesn't seem very fair, but he's like, just, and it's like, oh, wow, I've never experienced such a feeling of just that brotherliness with Jesus, if that's an appropriate word to use. And I was thinking about it afterwards, and I thought, like, the reason that image probably came so to mind so readily was because we had literally watched our friends from the church shoulder our burdens, like, all day, all afternoon. So it was just an illustration of how we can demonstrate for each other what God can do for us, like, in a physical way. So, yeah. So, not everyone's in the room right now, but, yeah, thank you guys so much. And, it was really incredible to have that physically demonstrated, that spiritual principle of that there are others to take our burden and God who will take the biggest burden of all for us.
Privilege when you walk beside someone and you can help carry their burdens, and it's a pleasure and privilege. I'd like to pray with you. Let's pray. Father, that story of what Tim has shared is a reminder that we have a responsibility and a privilege and an opportunity to share the burdens that we have, and share the burdens that other people have. And somewhere we're in the midst of all that, we see you and we know your presence and your power. So I pray for us as a church that we will continue to help one another, and there will be places in the busyness of our lives that we can come to you and say, God, I need refreshment. I need an oasis. I need your help. And then we can offer our burdens to you, and that you will carry them. And at the right time and at the right place and in the right ways, our burden will be lighter. Thank you for the privilege that we have of being able to come here today and to sing about you, to think about you. God, I pray that what we thought about and what we sung about will go on into our afternoon and go on into our evening and go on into our week. We continue to grow in our understanding of what it means to come to you, saying yes in a maybe world. So we pray this prayer knowing that you are the powerful creator. And we pray this prayer knowing that you are a sacrificial lamb full of love for us. And we ask that you will answer our prayers, and pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.